Hello and good day to you from episode 39 of our podcast series, Project Breakaway, a metaphorical and literal time in the day when we here at Predator Cycling take some time away from working in the back shop to come and share with our listeners what we're doing, how we're doing it, what it takes to do it, our ideas, our innovative success stories, and even our missteps and failures. If you find yourself with an interest in bicycles, composite manufacturing, out-of-the-box design, or even curiosities beyond, I encourage you to stick with us, settle in, and learn a little. I'm Courtney B., co-owner and project manager of Predator Cycling, and I'm here with my partner, RM Goganian, the other co-owner, CEO, lead designer and engineer, and post-Thanksgiving sleepy nappy man. How's it going, Aram?
Good. I got a good nap in. I got some sleep.
Yeah, so great. We had Thanksgiving last night, dinner, and then you just, your body shut down.
It did. It said, it was like, I'm done.
your eyes got real slanty and like you just got on a rocking chair and there you went.
Yep. That was basically what happened. It was nice.
Okay. This Thanksgiving, what was your favorite part of Thanksgiving?
Of the day, my favorite part was definitely we went to the park and we got little rubber band slingshot little airplanes for the boys and got to run around and do that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Who? What? How was your flying abilities?
The first attempt was pretty bad. Yeah. I went straight into a headwind thinking that it would be good so it wouldn't go too far. And it ended up getting a ton of lift, flew up into the air about 20 or 30 feet, and landed on top of the roof of the picnic area.
Shelter. So we spent about 10 minutes throwing rocks at the top of the shelter.
Yeah, and you got it down almost all the way to the bottom. And then I came with a big stick and pushed it down the last part.
It's how you solve all of life's problems. I just got a big stick.
Yeah, it works quite often. But yeah, whatever. The boys had fun.
Yeah, it was about, the little one, the one-year-old had about it was 15 minutes before I realized he was eating a leaf, like a full-on giant leaf.
He's just chewing on it. Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time. And then went to my mom's for Thanksgiving dinner, which was really nice. And
what was your favorite part? Mine was a four-year-old screaming, yucky, yucky, this is disgusting, I want to go play.
Of dinner? Just the boys in general, they're funny. The little one, he devoured Thanksgiving. I mean, he crushed it.
Yeah, he's going to have some stomach issues today.
I mean, he had deviled eggs, he had turkey, he had, did he have cranberry?
No, he didn't have cranberries, but he had everything else.
Yeah, he had cornbread.
Whipped cream.
He loves whipped cream.
I don't know how many people, listeners, that he does the baby sign language. So it was the whipped cream bottle and more. You could just put that here and here and here and here and here.
It was good. It was fun. All around fun time.
Cool. So let's move on. So on the last episode, we discussed more in depth our aero bar extensions and how they're similar or how they're different to the competition that's out there.
Yeah.
And then we spent some time this past week updating the website listing. Mm-hmm. And we added more renders and photos, just so you can see more angles, side views, three-quarter views, and a head-on. Because we didn't have a lot of different types of views.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of images of it. And we did, and we put a little video up too.
A little video, and we put a photo of the writer Corey Williams.
Yeah.
And it kind of a juxtaposition of him writing the extensions, and then him writing like a stock type of extension. So you can see the difference between the arm support. And
You can see how different it is. Also, we put in the video. You can kind of see how we model it around a rider. So you can kind of see one of the. Corey, we built a three-dimensional version of him that's parametrically driven, so we can adjust positions and adjust hand positions and do CFD testing. So kind of just like a little bit of a sneak peek of how we kind of do all of that.
Did we put that on social?
The video? I don't think
we should.
So. I think
we should do that today.
We should do that.
Okay.
It's a lot of things I should
do. Okay.
But it's on the webpage for the public.
Check out that listing with all the updates if you're interested. We're curious. Okay, speaking of the website and our listings, we've decided that we are going to join in on the holiday spirit this year and offer a Cyber Monday sale.
Yes.
Even though I don't know if Cyber Monday is a thing anymore. It's basically Black Friday.
Extended.
Small shop Saturday, Cyber Monday. I think it now in this shaky economy, COVID recession thing we're going through. It's just basically, we should just call it October, November, and December. That's when all the sales started.
Yeah. It's, I mean, all the everything Black Friday was, stuff started like 2 weeks ago.
Everything today on Black Friday is basically what the pre-sale Black Friday, the prices were.
So. Yeah. It's been the same. It hasn't, I mean, I haven't seen any,
you haven't been shopping. No, I've been shopping.
You've been shopping.
Mostly for toys and stuff, which I thought would be highly discounted today.
Yeah.
But they're basically the same as what they've been. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I was looking at a couple things, and everything is basically the pre-Black Friday sale is the same as the Black Friday sale.
What are you looking at? Getting me something?
Uh-huh. Maybe.
No. I think we've been married for 7 years. We've never gotten each other Christmas gifts.
No, not really. We're not.
Did we do that before kids?
No.
I don't think so.
Not really.
I don't know. Anyway.
We just always got each other things when we needed things. I don't know.
Yeah. So. Okay. What was I say? Regardless, we've historically skipped these deals.
Yes.
Because we found that our products, custom frames, etc., are just not an item that you surprise your loved ones with under the Christmas tree.
No.
Our clientele usually buy for themselves.
Yep.
And custom fits and products are a process.
Yep.
So we've never really seen a return on Black Friday type sales.
No, we run Black Friday a couple of times, or we've done a couple like December sales, but it's never really done anything. So.
However, in the past 2 or 3 years, we've been adding newer, smaller, and more adaptable type products to our arsenal.
Yep.
Like the aforementioned AeroBar extensions.
Yep.
Also the bike fitting wedges, the DIY kits, the handlebar plugs, the computer mounts, the washers.
Yeah, the safeguards.
The safeguards, yeah. So we've decided that this coming Monday, we'll be offering 20% store-wide on most things, and 30% off specifically the AeroBar extensions and the track pilots.
Yeah.
We would offer them on the road bars, but those are not listed yet.
No, they're not. They're not listed as a pre-order item yet. So we're just finishing the clamp mechanism.
Okay. So, and the thing about the AeroBar extensions and the track bars is that yes, they're custom, but 30% off purchase today starts you on the custom process to have them ready for the season.
Yep.
Which is what? Like this March, is March-ish, February, March-ish.
January, February is really when preseason. I mean, it's preseason is January, February, really. But if you're for AeroBar positioning, like you kind of want it. You don't want to jump into the season with new bars. So like you know, I don't know. For me, it was always like finalizing positions and setups was January, February work. Mm. So that in March is early racing, and then, you know, going straight into the season hard, you had your setup kind of dialed in already. You were kind of set. Mm-hmm. That was my rule of thumb, but, you know. So, I've always said January is the cutoff for, like, new parts.
Yeah. But. Oh, and let me pull up the website real quick, because we did do the extension updates, but we also added a little tab called process.
Yeah.
So if there's any confusion, because people sometimes get either confused or intimidated by a custom part, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like to talk to people, so I'm less likely to reach out if I needed some sort of custom part. But
for sure.
If you go to the process, so basically it says you can schedule a consultation, which is optional,
yeah,
but also recommended, which is basically talking to you. And I don't know who would not want to have a conversation with you.
I'm sure there's many people. But it's just setting up a consult just to go over, you know, what you're trying to get out of the aero bars, what your position is, what your needs are, explain to you any questions that you have about it, about the process, technical questions that you may have.
Or any questions, but there's a book a consultation button there at the top of the page, which basically sends you to a calendar and you choose a time slot and you get to have a little 15 to 20 to 30 minute, however long you really want, video conference with you.
Yeah. It automatically books a 30 minute call is what it does. Mm-hmm. And it'll automatically send you an invitation for a video meeting and put in a calendar. And
yeah.
That's it.
So then you can have that meeting optional, or you can just go ahead and place the order.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you place the order, you will work with us to submit photos. Mm-hmm. And we'll tell you what type of photos that we need to basically scan your arm angles, et cetera. And then you get an online design review and a 3D model of what your bars and stance would look like.
Yep.
And then you will receive a 3D printed sample in the mail for you to put on your
bike. You can just get a test to make sure that our fitment is correct, everything that we're doing is right, and final position changes, anything you want to do. You know, if you're like, oh, you know, that hand's a little too aggressive, or this isn't going to quite work, or whatever, you know, my computer mount, the way it's going, is not quite fitting the way I need it. Like, you know, anything from that transition from that 3D model to the review to the printed sample. You'll have a printed sample, and then
you get a final review with you.
And that printed sample is not for being like, it's not a riding safe sample. It is for like, put it on the trainer, lightly put your arms on it. I mean, it'll hold quite a bit of weight, but like, it is not meant to be a structural part. It is just right. for fitting purposes only.
And then once you do the final review with you, then we make your bars.
Yep. And then we have
them in the mail.
We have the 3D model. So all we're doing at that point is, you know, doing our hybrid skeleton and our carbon fusion process, and everything is referenced from that 3D print that you got and the 3D models that you see received, because it is a digital process. So.
Right. Okay. And then obviously the extensions aren't on Amazon, but all the other little products that I mentioned for Monday, visit our website,
redditorcycling.com,
because they were much cheaper than the Amazon store listings.
Yeah, we're not doing discounts on Amazon stores. Okay. We can't.
So, secondly, that was my first subject, I guess. Secondly, in the spirit of Thanksgiving and saying what we were grateful for in business from the past year, obviously we struggled just as everyone else did during COVID and the economy and whatever this crazy
wave of last 2 years.
All these tech people are saying there's a recession. So we did have quite a busy year in terms of technology.
We did.
So we were sponsored by Lenovo 2 months ago to be one of three highlighted customers in their booth at Autodesk University, which is their Autodesk tech conference, along with support from NVIDIA's Omniverse. We've talked about our partnerships with these companies a lot.
Yeah.
But we never talked about our trip.
Oh, no, we didn't.
So, because it takes us that long to get back to what we were doing.
It does.
Autodesk AU 2022 was held in New Orleans this year.
Yep.
It's been a few months, so it was back in September. So we've had some time to reflect on our experience. And I don't think my opinion has changed much since my initial response.
No,
I'm yours?
No, it's the same.
This was our fourth, and your fourth, my third, in-person AU experience. And I have to say, it fell quite short of expectation.
Yeah, it did. There's no doubt.
Many things were lacking.
Yep, that's fair.
From class availability versus actually getting in a full class that actually had open seats.
Yep.
To logistical placement of classes in a new conference center, to the 4 mile walk to the speaker prep room.
That was pretty bad. Yeah.
To the ho-hum keynote address. To the lack of industry inclusion for us small timers and after hours events, to simply just booth emptiness on the conference floor.
Wow, yeah.
To completely non-existent food that was prepaid for.
Yeah.
And to that closeout party that was a monstrosity.
That was bad.
So,
that was not great.
Listen. I know New Orleans is a struggling city. Yeah. That is no surprise to any of us, especially as, you know, intelligent people that were flying in for this.
Yeah.
But Autodesk really could have put a little effort into providing a more welcoming environment so all of us nerds could pump money into that city.
Yeah.
But I think there was a lack of inclusion in an inviting atmosphere that disenfranchised most of us peons.
That's true. But also, like, for me, I was really excited for New Orleans. Like, I was just like,
no, I'm not one of those people that was like, oh, Las Vegas, blah.
Yeah.
Which I heard super, a lot of.
I heard a lot of that, too. And I did not expect New Orleans to be the same as Vegas. And it's not that my expectations were not the same at all. I was super pumped because I'm like, I want to go to a new city. I've always wanted to go to New Orleans. I've never gone. I know that it is not a
we know safety was a factor. We knew
But it's like New Orleans has such history. It's such cool place. Like I wanted to go and experience like some New Orleans
style things.
Yeah, I was super psyched for it. But you didn't get that at AU.
Listen, we took it upon ourselves to wander the city.
Yeah, we did.
But the weekend just didn't feel like an AU event.
No.
There was a lack of excitement amongst many people on our level that we spoke with. So let's go through it. So let's talk about our booth experience and our partners.
That was
A+.
Yeah, no, I had a great, that was awesome.
In terms of the actual conference, that was probably one of our, that was our best.
That was the best.
Interactions in the booth.
Yeah, for sure. We had, it was the most successful AU for us for Predator Cycling's perspective. From the people that we spoke to, the conversations that we had.
The support from Lenovo.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's second to none. I mean,
they were probably like, who are these yahoos we put in our booth? And then they were like, oh wait, these people are amazing. They're bringing people to our booth. This guy never stops talking.
That would be me. Well, if you ask me a question about bicycles and design and like modeling and fusion and like Omniverse and like high powered workstations and bicycles and CFD and simulation. Right. I don't know. That's my thing.
Listen,
I
mean, it's different for every person when you go to these conferences and you see a booth. And you are attracted. You have to see something cool.
Yeah.
It's like you gotta a fly to a light. You got to be like, what's going to bring you in?
Yeah.
And then once you're in, it's like, great. What's the conversation? Which we've been to booths that are like, that's cool. And then no one is there to actually tell you why it's cool.
Yes. Or like understand why it's there. We got that question a lot.
Why are you here?
Yeah. The first question we got is like, okay, cool bike. We had, well, so
what, back what does up it have 2 seconds. With Lenovo?
Back up 2 seconds. So we brought our RF20 with our brand new... the major pilot road bars on display with our 3D printed cages and a couple other little sneak products that were on the bike that we've designed. And also it is the first time we've shown the RF20 at a show of any kind. So that was a big thing for us. I was a little nervous too, because like your AU, for those of you that don't know, is a lot of architecture, a lot of manufacturing, a lot of design, animation guys. I mean, these are very high level, talented.
So it's people who are looking like, actually at like the design. You're going to get nitpicked
on your design.
And everything's not just like cyclists are going to be like, oh, that doesn't work. At least from what I've read.
Yes. It's going to be like, oh, that's not the new Shimano. That's not the new Grupo. Or that's not this or this technical specification. A lot of people are looking at the actual design. A lot of engineers stopped and looked like, oh, you guys did CFD testing. Like that was a comment I got four or five times.
Well, we also had the video running in the background.
Right. But there was no CFD on it. Oh. There was no simulation or CFD shown on the videos. And a lot of people stopped and said, oh, you did a lot of CFD testing. And I was like, oh yeah, we did. I'm glad you could look at it and understand that we looked at these other. Anyways, the point was that I was nervous from that perspective because we haven't been that nitpicked on our design from that level of people yet. Mm-hmm. And it did really well. So we got a lot of people that came. And then the first question, when they were attracted by the bike and they said, okay, why are you here?
Yeah, what do you have to do with
Lenovo? So what does that have to do with Lenovo? What does this have to do with Autodesk? Mm-hmm. So that was a question we got a ton.
Which you can answer.
Yeah, I mean.
For days.
Yes, I can. It could take.
But we also had NVIDIA there too.
We had NVIDIA. So it was, we were in the booth, the Lenovo booth. They had
the trifecta of NVIDIA.
Yeah. We had a cool little video playing that was our, was playing with about our use of Omniverse and how we use that and our workflows through Fusion 360. For those of you that don't know, I'm sure most do that have been listening to this podcast. Almost all of our modeling is done in Fusion 360. All our cam work, all our prep work for simulation is pretty much done in Fusion. But we use that tool quite a bit. And then we use that in conjunction with Omniverse from NVIDIA to do a lot of our visualizations and assembling our models and assembling our projects and using it cross-platform to go to other products. And all of it is done on Lenovo hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Which, especially on the simulation side, we could not scale up if we didn't have massive computational power. And also, like, I mean, we use all NVIDIA high-end graphics cards. So we do a lot of solving there. Anyways, that's why it all kind of connects together. But it was good conversations. It was really good conversations. We talked to some really interesting people.
Shout out to those IKEA reps. You want a bike?
Yeah, we talked to some of the guys from IKEA for a while. We talked to, like, a bunch of different architectural design engineering companies that had huge interest. It was interesting too because we kind of showed off some of our in my talk I did a talk about IO work and how we kind of do integrated systems and how all that connects together with data and digital twins. And so that was really interesting. We had a lot of people that came and talked to us about that. Mm-hmm. So it was great. It was a very productive AU. From that perspective, it was very productive. Because
we spent most time at the booth and not as much time in the classes.
Well, it was a little frustrating because there was like three classes I really wanted to get into that I couldn't because it was full.
And then you probably could have gotten into them.
And literally people told me that they were like empty. The class was empty and I couldn't get in. I was like, oh, if I know it was empty, I would have gone. But like it said it was full. And
well, that's next, anyways. But let's finish the booth. So our booth experience, great.
Yeah, amazing.
But what is your experience walking around to see the other booths?
It was not small. Well, it's smaller, but it was
the first in person after COVID, which I get, but
it wasn't the, well, so like the AUs we've been to in previous ones, it would put in the category of an experience more than a show. You would go into like different manufacturing sectors or whatever, and you really were like immersed into the tech and like, talking to a lot of the experts, and like it was really like it was very cool. It was very inspiring to like design new stuff and like push it and what we could do with the future, and like I don't know, it was really inspiring.
Feel like there was a lot of talk about the future of like
there was not.
It was kind of like, this is what we did, this is my booth, this is a white tablecloth.
Yes, it was a lot of that. There were really no like experience type thing.
It's hard for companies to go all out on all these events, but
for sure. No, I knew that it was going to be different after post COVID, but I just felt, I don't know. It was not the experience that we've had in past AUs for sure.
Cause the pricing didn't reflect the change.
Yes. It was a lot more expensive this year.
Okay. So let's go to classes.
Yep.
The classes that you did go to.
I liked it. I had some good classes. I wish there was a couple classes I wanted to go to that I didn't get to go to. But
there was a lot of classes that you couldn't sign up for because they were full. But then if you casually walked by the door, they're pretty much half empty. And I don't know. There's a lot of factors why people were skipping out on classes, but they also weren't letting people into those empty classes, which is just a lack of communication between the staff and the convention staff. That's just purely a lack of communication.
That was just communication. Training. Yeah, it was just the prep training.
Which I get the first day, but like the second and third day should have been
a little better. There was a lot of times when there was like we were past that like 5 minutes whatever grace period, and then you're like, well, can I get in the class? And they're like, no, you have to be, your badge has to be able to scan. And I don't know if it was like a technical problem or like a training problem.
It was a training problem, but
then it was just like we were like a couple of times we just bailed. We're like, okay, I can't wait around, like I gotta get back.
And I think that was multiplied by a lot of people just bailing because they were just getting frustrated. But
well, that also complied because of the food.
Well, that is towards the bottom of my list here, but next is conference logistics. Man, I should have worn tennis shoes.
Yes, that was it. Was
there were some women there in heels, and I admire them for wearing the heels, but oh my gosh,
That was hard
on the feet. I mean, Vegas is hard on the feet, but you stop a lot and look at stuff. This was just like walking.
This was long. I almost didn't go to the speaker ready room and check in because I was like, oh my gosh, like I've walked the entire length of this building.
Right.
And I'm like, I still have to go. I needed coffee and I'm supposed to check in. So I wanted to check in and do what I'm supposed to do, but I almost didn't.
Yeah.
Because I was just like,
t-shirt though that you got. Upgraded cool t-shirt from the previous in-person one.
Best AU speaker shirt.
But that was just, it could have been like-minded classes could have been more
centralized. That's how they used to do it. They used to do it by floor. I think of different floors. They had it pretty sectioned in the past where like
it
manufacturing
just
classes were.
Disjointed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was just the whole thing around it and just even finding an escalator to get on.
Oh, that was bad too. I mean, that was,
which is not the conference center's fault, it's just the posting of, you know, information.
Well, yeah, like we didn't know what class was, anyways. Yeah, we didn't know where we're supposed to go, and then all of a sudden like, oh, we're going here, and then it was like we had to wait in line for like 5 to 10 minutes to go up the escalator. So, which happened in Vegas too. There's always that big mass rush.
Vegas is, but just also more,
Vegas has more escalator. I mean,
there's more
just
room. They're prepared. But
like,
I mean, I
don't see like that. I could, okay, fine. I'll wait in line for the escalator. Okay, fine. Like I got to do a couple things, but like we're in New Orleans. Like that's cool. Like I don't know. I would have not had a problem with that stuff as much as if there's more New Orleans style stuff going on,
right.
Or like,
so let's get to the keynote.
Oh yeah.
Which we were in the kind of back, so we saw like the preparation for the Mardi Gras type things coming. And you know, I am by no means a cultural, you know it all.
Yeah.
But I do know that it should have been, you know, a little bit more immersed in culture of Mardi Gras, not a bunch of whitewashed showgirls walking down the thing. I was a little disappointed with that.
Yeah.
The, you know, jazz has a very rich history.
Yes.
And I don't think it was correctly
portrayed
on the keynote stage.
Yeah.
So I was a little like, really?
Yeah. I did like that they talked about, I forget her name, but she was someone that was grew up in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. The city manager for the water.
Yes.
For the post,
That
was interesting. And that was, and I do know that they also had available like a historical architectural like walkabout thing that you signed up for.
I wanted to get that, but I couldn't. It was full. And then
probably half the people didn't show up.
I wanted to do that so bad.
There was a couple African-American type specific classes to learn about the history of New Orleans and what they were doing for cleanup, which were also, I think, full by the time we signed up.
But the architectural one, I wanted to see that was like super cool. I would have loved to have done that.
But the keynote, it was that. And then there was just a couple of just like, I don't know. They just were, I don't know. I think they've gotten too big for their britches and that they just didn't hit the right notes.
Yeah, there was definitely a sense of disconnect on some of them. But that's, there was a couple. Like I said, that city manager one, she was, her story was super cool, and what she's done and the way she talked about things was, I don't know, I thought it was pretty inspirational. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, this is super cool. Like,
yeah.
And then there was other ones that were pretty good too.
It was like
but that was
car failure. Like, we failed. I get
it. Yeah,
it
was a cool story.
We
failed
all the time too, but it was just a lot. It was just a lot on a repeat story.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I remember in the past we've gone to, not the keynotes, but what are like the ones they have in the middle of the day in the theater rooms, the theater talks or whatever.
Yeah, those were always.
Those were always like.
Those are good.
It was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It was like the bicycle ambulance in like Africa.
Oh, yeah,
for
that
like
was good.
Women who needed to see a female doctor or whatever and like stuff like that. And you always have like the prosthetic ones, which are like cool. I feel like that story's told a lot.
Yeah.
There just wasn't any of that. Or maybe there was and we just couldn't get in. I don't know.
I don't think there was a theater room like there was before. I don't know.
There was definitely a CEO room. The door would crack open, which was always there. But there wasn't. That's what I'm saying is there wasn't any. It wasn't exclusion. There was no inclusion for the small guys. There were a lot of people that this was their first.
Yeah.
AU.
There was
and they were like, "Oh, this is cool," but like, I'm like, "No, this is not what it's been." Like, you guys got
This year there was more of the, you could feel more of the Autodesk class system was there in presence.
Yeah.
Anyways,
so keynote ended.
Yep.
We left early.
Yes.
And that is going to segue into my next thing. We left early because we know we had to be back at our booth, so we were like, "Let's grab lunch early. Let's grab lunch when it opens, and so we can get back to the booth." Well. We apparently had the same idea as like 5,000 people.
There was
a mass exodus.
Yeah.
And there was a good 3,000 people behind us.
The keynote ran like 10 minutes over.
So we get in there thinking, we're just going to grab some food. We're going to the booth. Oh, no. We're not going to grab food because they ran out already. And there's 3,000 hungry people behind us.
Oh, yeah. They only fed like, I think, 1,000 people. There was 10,000 was there? Like this.
Right. And there were a lot of excuses that we heard from people there. Like, oh, people were grabbing bigger portions. People were. No, they weren't.
No,
they weren't. And as you said, it was a math problem.
Yeah,
it was a conference full of nerds, and they had a really big math problem.
Yeah, it was. There was an arithmetic issue there.
And they did try and solve that lack of food problem by offering different
avenues. But the problem was, is like they literally told us, "Oh, go across the street and buy sandwiches at this place down the street from us."
Well, that was
like,
the conference center folk who had no.
Well, even like, I asked some Autodesk people, and they were telling me the same thing. I was like, it was not. I was like, well, like,
but then they opened up the cafeteria. They're like, oh, between these 2 hours. But it wasn't doable for a lot of people.
No,
if they wanted to go to the classes that they all paid for, they've prepaid for all of these services, and they just didn't get
the
services.
Thing. As soon as I was talking to people, because they came by the booth on their way out, because we were right next to the door, and they're like, oh, there's no food. We're gonna go by the booths and see some stuff, and
then
we're leaving.
Peace out.
They're like, I'm leaving for the day. I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not coming back. We're gonna
Which
go
I
to
think,
dinner.
Yeah, it was why there was a lot of empty seats in the classes that were supposed to be full because people were just fed up. But
for sure.
I was so hungry. I was hungry.
But then
man.
It was the thing of from then on. It's like you just had to run to food.
Yeah,
like,
and then it just created this sense of like urgency and
upset.
I mean, people were hangry.
Yes, so. It was thing and. Yeah.
Okay. So then finally, last talking point, the closeout party. Come join us at the closeout party. You'll see Mardi Gras floats. No, you won't. You'll get a Bud Light in a can.
Yes.
You'll get some food, but it's going to be taken away 30 minutes before the party ends.
It was more than that.
And you can come out here and sit on these glowy, dilapidated toys. And pinball machines that weren't working. It just was not there. It was just not there. I actually got a... My phone was like, you know, the memories. Memories from 5 years ago. It was like Vegas parties.
Oh, yeah. I mean... Oh, yeah. There was a big difference. To be honest, I probably would. If I had known what it was going to be, the closing party, I don't think we would have gone. We would have gone and...
I would have... Yeah. No, I would have been a nice restaurant or something.
Yeah. I would have gone someplace else because it was like...
We left early. Where did we go?
We did leave early and we went...
Is that when we went down to...
No, we went... Garbage? I think we went to the hotel bar. We went to one of the bars or something and hung out. Because it was... And then it was... We ended up seeing a whole bunch of Autodesk people. Yeah. Or people from AU.
Okay. So they... No, they messed up. They sent out a message pretty soon apologizing.
Yeah.
They sent out a poll and a survey the week later.
Yeah.
So what do you think they should really focus on for next year? What's their takeaway? Did they get too big in previous years? Did they lose the focus of the actual event, which is technology? Did they make too much of a party out of it?
I think that this year was the year that was the least focus on the technology and the applications and what Autodesk does and their software and the experiences and what people from using the software do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was lost this year. I think this year it felt like we want to sell you something. We're here showing you the software and what we've done and how we can sell you on new packages.
And here's some discounts. I remember in previous years, people would, they'd have their little videographers going around like, what do you use?
Yeah.
Yay, Revit. And I'm like, I don't know what Revit is, but yay.
Yeah, it was fun. But like, it was also like, there's experts there, but like, I felt like in previous ones, whenever I had a conversation about some,
we had quite a few Autodesk customer experience people.
Oh, yeah.
Autodesk employees come up to us and be like, this is really cool. I'm like, yeah, we've actually been customers for like 10 years now.
Yeah, so. And we've shown off at multiple AU events.
And many of them took our information and did videos and stuff. And I don't see any of that anywhere.
We're not going to be on any of that. Which is fine. That's not the point. But well,
the point, though.
Well, I guess.
It is. We were in the biggest booth on the floor.
Yeah. We had a couple. I mean, we
were in the biggest booth on the floor.
We were the biggest booth on the floor.
So, if anyone from Autodesk is listening, love your product.
Yes.
Love our experiences usually. But if you're...
This was not it.
Sometimes I need attention.
Yeah, attention. And also just like, I don't know. In all the previous AUs I've been to, I come out of it with the idea and the concept of like, kind of, I'm inspired. All right, that's pretty cool. I saw that stuff. It was awesome. I'm going to take something away from that. I learned some new things. I'm going to apply it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that new software they have. Like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, I should do this. I should do that. I don't know. I come back inspired to like kick some butt.
You come back inspired. I come back and I'll even tell my mom like, oh, well, we learned about this story, about this thing that Autodesk is going. I didn't tell my mom anything this year. I told her there was no food. And it was, eh.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Next year, they need to revamp. I don't care what city it's in. Nashville's great.
Nashville's great.
Nashville will welcome you.
I was happy it was out of Vegas. I will say that. And I'm glad it went to New Orleans.
It just needed more.
Yeah.
It needed more attention to the base.
Yeah.
Base people that support it. The base people that are excited to go, not the corporate people that are paid to go.
Yeah. It was definitely, there was a couple of talks too I wanted to go to that we couldn't go to because we didn't have an executive. We had to have an executive badge or something to go to certain classes.
I'll Photoshop one. I'm an executive. You're an executive.
No, but it's like a paid class thing can't pay for, so you don't get to go to the classes. Mm. Those talks, certain talks you can't get into. But it was definitely, this is the year that there's a hierarchy. There's always like a, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But like this year, it was very evident. Like you were like,
I think too with the climate. I mean, just in the last 2 weeks, with all these technology companies, not firing, but getting rid of their workforce.
Yeah.
And they said, I was reading the New York Times. They said this workforce that's being fired are extremely intelligent people.
Yeah.
And they're all going to go to startups. Well, not all of them, obviously, but a lot of them are going to get eaten, absorbed by startups who definitely want the talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that. These people are who you're going to have to cater to in the next year or two.
I had this conversation with a very long time friend, and you know his always thing was that it's about the relationships, not about the companies. Mm-hmm. And because you don't know where, especially the talent, there's
There's a huge talent pool that's just basically starting from scratch right now. But also
the talent pool is the people that have mass talent like that are not, there's not a lot of. Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of them. A lot of them are free agents now. But yes, there's going to be definitely a massive shift in the in that portfolio of who's got what. And I've said it for a long time, especially on the manufacturing side. Like the big monstrosity companies, if they're not careful, they're going to lose their market share very fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're seeing it now in tech, even software design like stuff. I mean, there's some small startups that are doing some really cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like really cool latticing structures and yeah, there's like some cool latticing stuff. There's some new simulation stuff that's really cool. It's all very cool stuff. So
okay. Well, let's stop complaining.
Yeah.
It is Black Friday.
It is.
There are happy things going on today. Like I need to go look for toys for my kids. Mm-hmm. So things to mention again. Again, check the website, predatorcycling.com, for discounts this coming Monday. Check out for our big push on these Aerobar extensions. Mm-hmm. Remember, 20% off store-wide, and then 30% off Aerobar extensions and track pilots.
Yep.
And then I also have bike fit shims and wedges, 3D printing. They're printing now. I'm actually working on them. They're in my hand as I speak.
Yep.
And they'll be back in stock on Amazon in the coming week.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah. So we thank you for choosing to take some time with us, and we look forward to future breakaways. Look for us on Instagram and LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and in person here in Tennessee. We ask our listeners to please share, like, and subscribe. We're available on all major streaming platforms. Thanks for listening. Have a good one, and find some time to break away.